And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And we are back post-election with the Hoops Adjacent edition of the Athletic NBA Show. I'm David Aldridge in D.C. D.C. was exhaling a little bit this weekend, if you know what I'm saying, and inhaling as well, if you know what I'm saying. Waza wanted to go downtown to join in with the people celebrating a little bit on Saturday, but a couple of things, you know. First of all, young people without masks on, I can't rock with that right now. and the folks were celebrating in major ways. And I just can't hang like I used to in that particular area. So.
Right. Willie Nelson days are past.
Exactly.
I get it.
Just can't do it.
I get it.
So what was Cali like on Saturday and Sunday as the results came in?
So I was actually in Las Vegas.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. When you get to be my age, David, every single week there's a freaking wedding.
Yeah.
And so a couple of friends of mine, they were actually supposed to have some huge Armenian blowout extravaganza
right. This
weekend here in California. But obviously they had to cancel, right? Like they had 500 guests confirmed, yeah. Something crazy like that. And so what they decided to do was to do something much smaller with the bridal party in Las Vegas. It was 16 of us. We went and did the Elvis impersonator, the shotgun wedding chapel thing, then went to dinner. So I was in Vegas for that. On Saturday when the election became quote unquote official, I didn't see much of it in Vegas.
Okay.
But I know people who were in New York, which all of my family and friends in New York said it was insane. I know downtown LA went crazy. Vegas was calm, although I did see a guy in the Wynn Hotel with a shirt that said, "I survived Corona and the Clintons." I wasn't really sure what to do with that one, but I did see that one.
Maybe it's not those Clintons.
You never party with George Clinton before? You know what I'm saying? That is a survival.
That's the dulcet tones exactly. Of one of our two guests this week. We're going to do a little draft, and Marcus Thompson joins us and John Krasinski joins us. Fellas, what's happening?
What's going on,
man? I feel like I slept so hard Saturday night. I don't even mind telling you, I ain't slept like that in months, maybe years. You know what I'm saying? Like it was the sleep of the dead. Like I was just out, and I woke up so refreshed on Sunday morning. I don't know. It was woo. It's been a minute. I'll just say that. How's everybody holding up? How was everyone's post-election? You're both in safe states, so you didn't have any chaos in your.
No, we were done early.
Yeah,
we were done early. There was quite a party out on the streets here that night, and I don't know, but like. I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm still waiting on this thing. Like, I mean, I know what it all looks like, but until the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, man, I'm still just watching it pretty closely here.
Yeah.
We went in the town. It was going down. Funny part was, we were working out in the park in Oakland.
Yeah,
and it's like 8 a.m. right?
Yeah.
So we in there being abused by this trainer, and next thing you know, like we're in a big park too, and literally something was like you just heard a bunch of people screaming, and it's like 8:30 in the morning.
Right,
so we're like, what the heck happened? And then during the break, we checked our phones. It was like, oh, they called the election. We was like, that's what the screen was like. It was like wild. It was like, we were just like regular neighborhood. And everybody started screaming. And then by the time we ended driving home, yo, it was great. I was like, yo, wow, people really out here, which is surprising. You know, like I mean, to be honest, I get why the white people were celebrating. I'm like, but us, black people feel like you should have a little bit more precaution, right? Right. Like,
skepticism. We ain't quite out the woods yet.
No, like, but I could understand it just because, you know, Kamala's in Oakland. She's from, right. She's from the Bay, right? So I could you know, I could see them being a little excited about that.
I mean, yeah, but you know, I'm not going to speak ill of Kamala, but you know,
yeah, Mark,
she has a relationship with the Bay.
Not today.
She has a relationship with the Bay. You know what I'm saying?
There's some complications. I understand. I got you.
And I know, and John, I don't know if you're going to be able to relate to this one, but man, the freaking HBCU Stomp the Yard crowd. They went crazy this weekend. Oh my goodness.
No. I was done when I turned on the TV and MSNBC was on, and there was a black woman on there, and her background, you know, like she put the virtual AKA background. Oh, I was like, oh, yeah. We on cable news. Yeah. Right.
You can't talk to nobody from Howard like for a year, man. Just a year minimum. You just can't say nothing.
I know we're not going to hear the end of this. I don't know if are either of you guys part of the fraternity, the Greek stuff, the black Greek stuff?
I spent my entire college. I spent my entire college journalism career ripping them in the newspaper.
Waz, it was real simple for me. I would go, wait a minute, didn't we just spend the last 100 years to stop being branded? Didn't that? We wanted to get away from that shit, right?
Listen, like, I'm telling y'all, this is a confession. I didn't know anything about Greek culture until I got to college. Yeah. We ain't got none of that stuff in the Bay. Right. I just didn't know it.
You know what's so funny? Because I'm not black American. Like, my family is immigrants. Like, they obviously, I wouldn't have learned from them. And all of my family members who ended up going to college were first generation people like me. Mm-hmm. So, like, I definitely was like, y'all went into college naked as far as my knowledge about this. And it was like the most coolest thing you could do. And I was like, all right, so what are the requirements again? And I said,
Here's how I learned about it. You're in the dorms, right? Uh-huh. And there's this, no disrespect, he ended up being our homie too. But you see this guy, this little person, and he's carrying, like, first he brings like a couch and he's dragging it across into this apartment. Well, first it was like a chair, like one of them Ottoman chairs. Mm-hmm. And then it was a couch. And we're like, yo, what is happening? And so we go to help him. Yeah. And he's like, no, don't help me. I got to do it by myself. And I'm confused, yo. I have no idea what's going on. They're like, oh, he pledging or something like that. I was like, I don't understand. But so they was like, yeah, you got to move this whole apartment by yourself. So this idea that you had to be humiliated to kick it with people, I was like, I'm not doing that.
That's going to be a hard no for me.
The Divine Nine had a field day this weekend, and I'll just say that so that we
John,
can, you know.
John, are you a frat guy? Did you?
No, I'm not. And see, so, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, from the outside looking in, I see – you got to jump through all these hoops and take all this abuse to get into the club. But it seems like, again, it seems like the black fraternities, like, you might go through all that and you say, hey, this was actually a little bit worth it. Like, it's pretty, you know, it's
they carry a lot, like, of pride with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But like, I'll say, like,
grownups who still doing it. So
from the white side, like, I would go to some of those white frat parties and stuff every once in a while in college and be like, man, I don't want nothing to do with any of this. This is the lamest shit ever. Like, you know, like, that's it. So there, once again, a little divide in the experience on the color barrier. But
to America's, John.
Two Americas.
There's definitely some value in it in the black culture. There's definitely some. Many people get jobs because of that.
Jobs, and then and I've gotten a spiel from a couple of my friends about. Well, these were the first fraternal orders of people who first got allowed to go to school in America, and Martin Luther King, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. But y'all signed on the dotted line to get girls. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. I was going in because I was so self-righteous in college. You know, I was like, you guys are supposed to be about the community. Like, you're supposed to, but all y'all doing is partying and getting drunk. And, you know what I'm saying? And like, I was just like, you guys are not uplifting your ideals. I was killing them.
They hated me. Man, you were one of those.
I was that dude.
It was real simple. Wait, y'all going to brand me? Oh, hell no. Nah, because I got problems. We keloid up as it is. No.
Yeah, the white frat boys just wear the push broom hairstyles and a backward hat. So
let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Who
Comma Is
Adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. Like the bullshit in his bracket, I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing him. Yes. Yes. And then he kept their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in
there. Rodney Lembre.
So the Chicago and Detroit stuff, that was real.
That was real.
I mean, God forbid we don't have scholarship money that can't pay for the charters for the water polo in Iowa.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoops
Adjacent. 5, 4, we have ignition.
Anyway, let's talk basketball, man. That's a kind of odd transition, but that's what we do here. We talk about everything. And I wanted y'all on to talk about the draft. So let's kick it right now. I'm trying to get the first 10 picks up because I don't have them memorized. I know the first four. Well, wait a minute. I do know the first five. So Minnesota's 1, Golden State's 2, Charlotte is 3, Chicago is 4, and Cleveland is 5. Atlanta is 6. Is New York 7 or 8? Detroit 7, New York's 8, Washington's 9, and Phoenix is 10. I do know the top 10. Okay. So we don't know which CAA player the Knicks are going to take, whoever's available, if it's going to be Toppin or Tyrese Halliburton or whoever it's going to be.
That's hilarious.
But it'll probably be one of them. But John, let's start with your guys. I mean, there's a lot of the last couple of weeks or last few days, actually, a lot of chatter about LaMelo Ball. Our John Hollinger did his mock draft. I think Gavoni did his mock draft, and they both had the same thing. Look, what are you hearing? And I know you've written this, that may not be the best fit for the current roster of the Timberwolves, yes. if they keep the pick.
Right, yeah. And so I think there's a couple of ways to start. One is that absolutely the Wolves are entertaining and pursuing possibilities to trade out of it. Charlotte at 3 is a big possibility. They're kind of combing the rest of the league to see what what other things they might be able to get to get out of number 1, right. Pick up an asset or two and still get a guy they like further down the board. In the absence of that, I believe that Anthony Edwards from Georgia is certainly a better fit for what they have already. And, you know, you can make the argument that, hey, if you're drafting at number 1 overall and you won 19 games last year, the last thing you should be looking at is fit. But I do think that Edwards has upside and that could eventually emerge if they are able to develop him into an all-star caliber talent at shooting guard. And so then you have D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. That could be a really good kind of trio eventually, years down the road here. But there is a lot of steam, I think, externally, guys, with, you know, I've talked to other teams around the league. I've talked to agents and people, and there is real steam that the Wolves like LaMelo Ball. They like his playmaking. They like his size. They want multiple ball handlers in the backcourt for their offense. So they think that he and Russell would work well together. I am of the mind that both LaMelo Ball and D'Angelo Russell really want the ball in their hands. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't know that that is the greatest fit.
Right.
We've seen D'Angelo in Golden State kind of move off the ball a little bit, and Marcus can probably talk about this a little bit more, but I think D'Angelo Russell wants to be on the ball. Yeah. And so that would be the thing that they have to figure out. And so I still think that, you know, if I had to pick today and I had to guess which way they would go, I think it's Edwards myself, but there is a lot of steam around LaMelo Ball right now.
I mean, go ahead, Waz.
No, because last week it sounded like, and I wanted to ask both of you guys this because you guys talk to so many people that you trust. But last week there seemed to be so much talk about Anthony Edwards being clearly the pick, right? Especially after his workout and all of this, and he's wowing people with athleticism and all of this stuff. And then this week we get the reports or rumors or whispers or whatever euphemism we're using for outright lies. Now, we get Wiseman's the guy. The Wolves really want Wiseman. And the reason why I ask you that is because, one, to me, if they really want this kid, that is the biggest slap in the face repudiation of their alleged franchise player, Karl Anthony Towns, right? Because if you draft another center at the number one pick, it means you don't think Karl Towns is a center. Like, there's no real way to, you know, to sort of say it any other way. Like, if you say it's either you think Karl Towns can hold down a team, be a center, be the defensive anchor, or you don't. And two, the reason why I bring all of that up, and I'm freaking rambling, but like, how do you guys trust anything that you're hearing this time of year, right, when it's right. obvious that people are just straight up lying
their asses
off? They're lying.
Off.
They're yeah. lying.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah it, I mean, I think that what I do is you lean on long-term relationships that you've right. built over years and years.
Yep.
But you also know all the time that even some of your most trusted sources have agendas for what they're telling you. And yeah. so you have to kind of gain a big sample size of opinion, of intelligence, and put it all together to try and get some sort of consensus about it. But I do take all of it with a grain of salt. That's why the Wiseman stuff reeks to me of smokescreen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, if you put yourself in the Timberwolves shoes, you know, you see the Warriors were right behind you, are playing plenty of games themselves with the leaking and kind of throwing stuff out there. And I think that the Wolves, if they want to maximize their value with that number one pick in a trade, most people believe that it's going to be a team that moves up to get Wiseman. Now the Warriors are putting out there maybe that hey, they actually really like Anthony Edwards after all, to mess with the Timberwolves a little bit that way. And so, you know, I think that I don't think that Wiseman is a big option for them at number one to keep and develop. I don't think that. Number one, they believe in Towns. They think that he is a franchise player. Number two, Wiseman wants to go somewhere where he can be featured, and that would not be Minnesota. And I just think that, you know, you could say that, yeah, you put them both together and maybe Towns with his shooting can play the four a little bit and do that. But that's not going to work defensively, and the Wolves want to play a little bit smaller and sleeker, so they're not going to play two bigs together. So all of that conspires to say, I think the Wiseman stuff to the Wolves is not something that I'm putting a whole lot of credence into right now.
I don't believe it either, but I also don't believe Ball, because if they – look, you know better than I, John. They're one of the worst defensive teams ever. Like, not just this year, like ever. You know what I mean? So LaMelo Ball is a horrible defensive player. Horrible. Not bad, not mediocre, horrible defensively. So how can you pick a guy like that, one, if you're trying to at least try to play better defense going forward?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a huge question. I think when you talk to some talent evaluators, the one thing that they say is, well, you know, LaMelo is 6'7" and he can rebound pretty well. And yeah, so we true. Think that yeah. there are building blocks there to turn him into at least a solid defender. Maybe not, you know, Patrick Beverley, but certainly there is some hope and some prayer that he could eventually develop on that side of the court and give you more than certainly what he has shown to this point. But with D'Angelo Russell, who is not a defender, with Karl Anthony Towns, who needs to get better defensively, I think he has more potential. But I think D'Angelo is just, to get anything out of him defensively would be a surprise. And so you need some stout defensive type of presence along with them. And LaMelo Ball does not project to be that. Here's the other thing. He's an unbelievable passer. There's no question. Great so it pass. would be very fun to watch Russell and Ball, and Towns can pass it too, kind of zip the ball all over the court. I think that is intriguing. But Ball is not a shooter. And what the Wolves need as much as anything is they need outside shooting, because they are playing that Rockets offense of heavy, you know, lots of threes, and more threes. And so, you know, you got Russ or Ball, who comes in, you know, under 30% from the perimeter. That's something that would be a concern as well. Shot selection, you know, all of that stuff conspires against this guy. Now, maybe he grows into it. He's just a young kid. He's been all over the world. He has a high IQ. Maybe he figures all of this stuff out. But there is a lot that you have to work through to get yourself to say, this is the right player, not just at number one, but for this team and where this team wants to go.
All right, so John, I'm curious about the Wolves as well, because they gave up stuff for D'Angelo Russell, who, you know, I'm somebody who's like, this guy played good basketball for 2.5 months of his life, and, you know, he's treated like the next Magic Johnson, it feels like, on certain times. So I'm wondering, what do the Wolves think they are as a team? Like, do they really think there's some type of maybe 8th seed, 7th seed? Do they recognize that they're still rebuilding, like 100% rebuilding? What's the vibe of what they think this team is supposed to be this season?
Yeah, I think that they're going into this pragmatically for this upcoming season. I mean, you look around the rest of the West, and it's like it's a bloodbath. Like, who is getting worse in the West? And the Wolves are already with the second worst record last season. So they know that it's going to be a slog to get, you know, into the playoff conversation this upcoming season. But I do believe that they are on a track and on a plan that going into 2021, 2022, when Towns is in the third year of his contract extension, that's when it's time to make the real move. Like, that's when it's time to say, okay, we got to be able to show that we're ready to be in the conversation in the Western Conference and really making a move forward. Now, that said, they still think this upcoming season is very big for them, because they have really staked their plan on Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, you know, two individually very talented players who, outside of Russell's one season in Brooklyn and Towns' one season with Jimmy Butler, they haven't won a whole lot. And so there's something to kind of be proven this season to see just how that pairing works together and take a look at and see if, like, they have the building blocks to say, okay, we just need a few more tweaks around the edges of this to put us where we want to go, as opposed to really looking at it and being like, oh man, we're going to need, you know, more heavy artillery if we're going to do this. And so it's going to be a big evaluation season for that pairing as a duo that can really compete with, you know, Dallas and Phoenix and Memphis and a lot of the teams sort of jockeying in the 6 to 10 range, because that's where they're going to have to eventually go.
I wonder about that, because They've only got, I think, well, James Johnson, I guess, has a player option for this coming season, which I assume he will exercise, right? So, I mean,
yes.
So he comes off. But other than that, there's not a whole lot coming off of their cap for 2021. They think they're going to be a player in free agency, or is it the trade route? What are they thinking how they're going to add to the talent pool?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more in the trade route. When you have two max guys, you know, Towns and Russell, that eats up a whole big portion of your cap. So they have Gerson Rosas and Sachin Gupta, who are kind of leading the front office, and really they are kind of from that Houston school. They want to kind of go into the think tank and come up with these extravagant four-team trades to reinvent their roster, and they believe that they can do that. So I think that that's the plan for kind of supplementing this roster going forward. But that's also why there's so much pressure on this draft for them, whether they end up keeping number one and 17 and drafting players with those picks, or if they package those picks to trade for veterans, or however they do it. Like, they have to maximize the opportunity here next week, because next year they traded, you know, their top three protected first round pick to Golden State for Russell, and to get off of Wiggins. And so this is kind of like one of the last golden opportunities they have from a drafting standpoint to really bring in high end talent. And so they've got to find a way to do that, whether it is making that pick or sending it in a package for somebody else.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Marcus, we've been getting, ever since the Warriors basically obtained this pick, we've been getting, not obtained, but, you know, since it was apparent that their season was going to go in the toilet because of injuries to their best players, there was an idea that this pick would be a quote-unquote asset. Like, they wouldn't draft the next whatever guy that's going to play next to Clay and Steph or whatever, that they're going to try to fill out the team with this pick, try to land a superstar, maybe a Bradley Beal, blah, 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 blah. And again, because it's silly season, we're getting the Warriors want to make, you know, Wiseman into their franchise center. You know, what's your sense about what the Warriors actually, like, what would they actually want to do? Wouldn't it be to trade for, like, a Bradley Beal or something? Draft pick.
Oh, they definitely want to trade the pick and get a star. Like, that's no question. I mean, for sheer financial reasons, they'd rather do that because, I mean, the Chase Center is, man, the 80% of their money comes from ticket sales. Chase Center was supposed to be this huge cash cow, and it will be, right? But, like, this wasn't a place for eight seed.
Right, you know, right, remember, right.
They were expecting KD, Steph, Clay, Draymond, you know.
Right, for a minute.
So, yeah, so if they can recreate that, they take that in a heartbeat. I mean, that's just how they are. The tricky part about the Warriors is they need somebody who can help them now and maximize the prime of Steph, Clay, and Draymond.
Yeah.
And they need somebody who can, like, take the baton when those dudes start fading down.
That's what I was wondering about that, Marcus. Like, how do they view it? Like, because, you know, everybody's been circling Giannis for them for a minute, you know, like they're going to be all in. And I'm like, how are they going to do that? Don't worry about it. We're going to get it done. But if it's not Giannis for one, whatever reason, like, do you take a Wiseman who could grow into maybe being that star that can sell some tickets down the road? Or do you go all in for the guy that you know is a star now, whoever that is?
I think if they could go all in, they do it. And I do think some of this draft talk out of the Warriors camp is to, you know, hype the pick.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, as John said, they got Minnesota's pick next year,
right,
which they think will be pretty high.
And they're probably right.
but you know, so they've kind of got two ways to skin this cat. And yeah, the thing that's interesting now, which might be in play, especially since the league just basically benefited all the rich teams by decreasing the tax penalty, they might be able to draft a guy now, sign somebody with that $17 million exception, and then use next year's pick from a draft that's supposed to be so much better.
Right.
Probably looks really sexy now, and use that pick to get something. The question is, what's available right now? I don't know that they need, like, the perfect guy is a 24, 25 year old star who can come in and fit with Steph Clay and Draymond and then take over when those dudes fade. Like, who is that? That's like, it's like three players in history.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who that guy. I mean, Giannis is the guy, right?
Right.
Giannis is that guy. Joel Embiid is that guy. These dudes just aren't available like that in many ways. So I'm looking at who they could take. Man, look, you know who I keep hearing they think is just super talented is LaMelo. I think that's kind of running around to all these teams. There's something about LaMelo that is sexy in this draft situation where people are like, man, he's like that scrub who women will look at and be like, man, if I could just clean him up, if I could do this, man, this dude's a
big. Yeah, and you know, you get the sense from talking to people who have actually scouted a lot of these guys is that LaMelo presents the most tantalizing, you know, sort of combination of not just he's big, he's got size and he's got athleticism, but he has a feel for the game, right? Like Anthony Edwards is an explosive athlete, but he doesn't have the playmaking and the passing and just a feel for the game, the natural feel that LaMelo possesses. So people feel like he's the highest upside guy, but, you know, the jump shot wasn't there. A lot of people were unimpressed by his, like, just inability to play hard every day in Australia.
Yeah.
People have their eyebrows raised by that. But part of me is just like, he's a young kid and what he knows to be a freaking Z League. Okay. I can't be mad at him
for
that.
But
and he know he a star too, right? So he's like, what the fuck?
Whoa. Star. For what?
Nope. Oh, what does that matter?
He's a star.
What does
on Instagram.
That matter?
You know what I'm saying?
It don't matter. He's
where,
a star.
Where has he been a star? Was he a star in Lithuania and I didn't notice it? Was he a star on a terrible team in Australia that didn't do anything?
You do not have to be a star outside of your mind.
It's different.
Like, you can just be a star.
It can be. And that's it. It's fine. If you're a big man and you want to be that guy, okay, fine. Big men take longer. I'll wait. But when you're supposed to be the point guard today, tonight, and you're supposed to get guys in the right spots and pass the ball to them where they like it and get everybody in offense and be the head of the spear on defense, oh, Lord, no.
That's where I think attitude matters, right? Yeah. That's where I think
it would come down to sense
because in many ways that makes him perfect for the Warriors, right? Like, he's not the point guard now.
The question is,
how does he handle it, right? Like, how does he handle coming off the bench with Jordan Poole?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
If you think you're a star, that might be tough.
Right. Well, the other part of it that I think everyone is looking at, especially the Wolves and the Warriors, if you take LaMelo, it could be a chess match, right? Because you take him and maybe you play with you keep him early, but down the road, right now the Wolves don't believe they can get Devin Booker in a trade.
Right.
But if, you know, 6 months down the road, if next year comes around, there's a door that opens for Devin Booker, now you have a kind of a headlining type of a player that you can include in a package.
He'll have
the Warriors and Giannis.
He'll have
value.
Yep.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So that's
But won't,
that's
the, won't these T-Wolves do just join a fraternity? Like, do they have to play together? Like, this whole, like, tell them to go pledge.
See, to me, absolutely. And it's hilarious because, you know, and players we know, especially active ones, make the worst GMs. Just the idea of Devin Booker and D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns trying to figure out how to share a ball.
It
also works against them that everybody knows that these dudes are best friends and they want to play each other.
Right. Makes it hard to train.
Okay, you want Devin Booker. If you Phoenix, yeah, give me. I know you kind of got to do this. Because your two stars want it,
This always drives me crazy when people talk about trades. Phoenix got, you know, they have a superstar player. They're clearly their best player, the guy that they can build a franchise around and potentially do something in the next 5 to 7 years. And everybody's like, just trade him for, you know, this and that in the third. Trade my fourth best player for your best player. Why would I do that if I was Phoenix?
Yeah, he'd have to go Jimmy Butler on it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I don't know that there's a player in this draft that anybody thinks is going to be as good as Devin Booker is now.
Right.
No way.
Right. Exactly.
Devin Booker is the point of tanking. I'm not going to take all this Tyler Halliburton shade. Like, come on, Tyler.
I didn't even get his name right, Tyler Halliburton.
Yeah, get his name right. Damn, no, I like him a lot, and that actually leads me.
He ain't Devin Booker.
No, he's not Devin Booker. But that just does lead me to. I wanted to hear from both of y'all. Is there any player that people aren't talking about that you think is a possibility or at least a good fit if they kept the pick? Like, is it Halliburton? Is it Tappan? You know, is it Anthony?
Killian Hayes.
Like, Anthony Edwards is in that mix, so you can't use him. And obviously, we've talked about LaMelo and we've talked about Wiseman. Other than those three, is there anybody that you think, that would make sense? Or, I've heard they like him a lot.
My guy that for the Wolves, I think, is Tyrese Halliburton. If you look at what LaMelo is or what they project him to be, and then you put Halliburton right next to him, I think there's a lot of qualities that you might like in Halliburton a little bit more. Now, it doesn't mean that he is maybe quite the passer that LaMelo is. I think LaMelo is on another level that way. But in terms of he's a better shooter than LaMelo, it's a funky shot, but it goes in from a percentage basis. So that fits better with what the Wolves want. And if they want some sort of playmaking guard next to Russell in the backcourt, I think that is a guy they could trade back a couple of spots and still take and fit in. The other guy that I would watch very closely if they move back a few spots is Okongwu from USC, the big man, because
don't hurt the Wizards like that.
He's versatile enough.
They want him to fall to nine.
Yep, he's versatile enough. You can put him next to Towns. And just from a defensive standpoint, you hear Adebayo comparisons and his IQ, his kind of intensity that he brings. You know, those are two guys that I would watch closely for the Wolves if they decide to move back or kind of, you know, throw a curveball in there and don't go with one of those top three guys that have always been, you know, linked to them for the past 4 or 5 months.
I hate to break this to the Wizards, right?
Yeah, you didn't get past two.
I was gonna say Okongwu too. Everything about him fits, except for he's not as tall as Wiseman.
Right,
and you know they got enough 6'9" guys. I do think the part about Wiseman is that he's an actual 7-footer, right?
Yeah, right.
But Okongwu fits everything else, right? He fits everything else, and I'm not hearing anything about him.
Right.
Which is like, oh man, hold on.
Right. That's a red flag. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a red flag. This dude's too good to not be mentioned. I think Isaac Okoro is another guy. If they like Edwards, you know, Isaac Okoro might be the light version. I don't think they'll take these dudes at two though. I think if there's a chance to move down,
right,
then they'd feel as good because he's an exceptional athlete. You know, he's a really good defender, and that matters. So I know Kerr wants size. I know he wants athleticism, and shooting is a must. So Okongwu makes a lot of sense. And I think we got to put Denny on the list.
Yeah. Okay.
Dini Avdija. I think we got to put him on the list. Mm-hmm. He's one of them guys who's like, ah, yeah, we saw him. Yeah, we like him. It's like, come on, you underselling this a little bit. and we know the Warriors love their, they love their,
international their, coffee.
Yeah, they're international players, right? You know, they love to get, they still try to make smileage each work. So.
Right. No, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. I think there's going to be several trades. I just have a feeling. You know,
I mean, how Wizards is that though? Like looking up at a dude who's number three and be like, "Oh, I hope he falls to us." Like,
well, he was supposed to be there. He was supposed to be there like 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, everybody got hyped on him, and now he's like, he's a top three pick.
You know, so. Or now he's gonna fall to him, and they're gonna pass him. Like, why didn't they take him? Something must be wrong with him.
They would love to take him. They would. I think they will try to move up. I think Dallas is trying to move up. I think Detroit's trying to move up. So I think there's a lot of teams that are in the hunt of trying to move up to get the guy that they like, because I don't think this is a – as much as people say, well, there's no difference. Yeah, there's a difference. There's guys that you like that you want to get, because if you don't get them, then there is no difference, right? Then you're just taking the next best guy on your list, so –
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So, guys, we found out yesterday, hilariously, that NBA free agency is starting
tomorrow.
Everybody's reaction on Twitter was just like, wait, what? This is not how people generally are used to doing free agency, right? Like, the finals end, we do the draft stuff, which is always working in concert with free agency. It's like, teams are trading picks and making moves and making room and doing all of this stuff. And free agency felt like it just got sprung up on people. But, you know, especially with Golden State, who, as Marcus mentioned earlier, absolutely is intent on putting out a good team, if not great, a dope product. What type of guys are they targeting in the offseason with stuff like the mid-level or the mini mid-level or –
They got the trade exception
because let's face it, man, they have Draymond, Steph, Clay, and Andrew Wiggins. I'm not going to do the Wiggins thing today. He's an NBA rotational player. He might be an overpaid one.
Come on.
He might be an overpaid one, but he's an NBA rotational player. So that's four NBA rotational players, Marcus. What other type of guys are they looking at to target this offseason? Because they got to fill out this roster.
Can I tell you who I'd love to get? Number one, they'd love to get like a Serge Ibaka if somehow they could get him for $17 million. If he's like, perfect. Sure, I'll play on the winner. Right,
right.
You know the guy who I think is perfect and they probably won't get him because I'd love him is Kelly Oubre. I think he would be ideal for that $17 million.
I hadn't
they need They need wings. They need athleticism. They need defenders. They lost all their wings.
Right.
That was the problem. They lost Andre Iguodala. They lost Kevin Durant. They lost Klay Thompson, right? So they lost Sean Livingston. They need to restock their wings. They need to – I mean, you got to beat LeBron. The message is the bottom line. You got to beat LeBron. You got to beat Anthony Davis.
Right.
They like Draymond matching up against Anthony Davis, especially if they could get another big who can help them with that. Who they got for LeBron? Not that anybody's going to stop LeBron, but you got to guard him.
You have to put somebody in front of him. Right.
You got to have somebody in front of him.
Right.
Do whatever he wants.
It's interesting
he's
that
crazy
you brought
too. Up. I like that he's crazy like that. Like Kelly Oubre is
no,
nuts.
You know what?
He's somebody who's nuts.
You know what?
Why is Kelly Oubre always in a trade though? I'm really curious as to why, because he seems like an ideal wing, especially when you have established yourself to have like sort of shot creators and ball handlers and playmakers. Like he seems like the perfect complementary piece around, you know, a possession eating type of superstar player. Why is he always rumored to be on the move or actually on the move?
I can tell you when he was here, you know, they loved Kelly Oubre. They loved what he brought, all the stuff that you talked about, Marcus. But it was just, I don't know if it was immaturity, whatever you want to call it. It was just a feeling that he just was not locked in as much as he needed to be locked in. And I don't know if that's still the case in Phoenix or if it's just a financial thing. It might be, you know, you never know. When you mentioned that name, my initial reaction was, oh, hell no. But then it actually would make some sense. He could actually help them a lot, actually, if being in a winning organization, that's the other thing that he's never been a part of in the NBA. Well, with the Wizards, they were starting to win. But, you know, Golden State obviously has a different pedigree in terms of winning. And maybe they could get him to kind of focus all the time. And he could help them. Yes. He definitely could help them. Absolutely.
And I think it helps a lot that he improved to like 35% from three.
He can shoot it. It's just he can make the three. I saw, you know, he's not a bad shooter. He's not great, but he's not bad.
You've got to realize, like, the quality of three-point looks that you get when you're playing next to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, because the defense is so keyed on letting those guys let it fly. You're getting great looks. You're getting those Rajon Rondo walking to a wide-open practice three.
Yeah. And listen, like, Lawaz, you're so right, and I'm telling you, of vital importance – is you cannot be scared.
Yeah.
We've seen so many dudes who are shooters come play with Steph and Klay, and now they're like, should I be the one shooting?
right.
And they don't shoot like that. Nick Young, like we've seen all these dudes, Omri Caspi, Quinn Cook, you know, he had to learn how to do, like it's a different kind of pressure when you know two of the greatest shooters of all time are on the court. And you're wide open. You got to have a different mindset. And I think that matters. I think that dude, Kelly just don't seem like he's scared of nothing.
No, he's not.
Like, they've seen him walk in swinging. that matters.
Now, I'll tell you, another guy's not scared. Now, if you want to talk about those two lottery picks and another player for another shooter in Washington, come holler at your boy is what I'm saying. You know, they got a guy in Washington that's not afraid to shoot now and can put the ball on the floor and rebounds pretty well and is an all-star.
Just come
holler at your boy is what I'm saying.
That's like $50 million. No, that's like $70 million on the same position. We got $70 million worth of two cars.
One of them can be
that luxury
three.
Tax break was nice, but not that nice.
No, it's not that nice. You're right.
And also, DA, like, didn't you remember with the extension, Bradley Beal and the Wizards are committed to each other for the long term? I don't know. They're committed, guys. Come on.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, right. Nothing but love. On this 28-win team, nothing but love.
You know what? Can I ask John a question? I got a question for my man.
Sure. Go ahead.
I wonder how do the Timberwolves – how are they approaching this? First off, I couldn't believe they made the trade. But And both of them walked away feeling like they hustled the other, right?
Yeah.
Right? The Warriors are like, we got a first round pick for this guy? Wow. And, you know, Minnesota's like, all we had to give up was a first round pick. Right. So, right. Like, how does Minnesota view this kind of rivalry? I don't know what it is. There's a weird thing between the Warriors and Timberwolves that date back to them passing on Steph, right? Like this is interesting that now they're 1-2 and then next year they're engaged.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, obviously there's no rivalry on the court because the Warriors are the class of the league and the Wolves are where they are. But there's like this little angst between the two franchises, I think, with just, you know, you see kind of the gamesmanship that happened around the Russell deal when it was executed and, you know, the Warriors and the positions that they were taking and leaking publicly. And then, you know, the Wolves kind of having to sit back and take it and bide their time. And then I think that the Warriors were probably a little bit miffed that the Wolves puffed their chests out a little bit after getting Russell and said, see, you know, we stuck to our guns and we got the guy and we told you we would get him and all of these things. And so there's like a for sure a rivalry between the two front offices. And I know that it is not going unnoticed right now here locally that the Warriors are taking liberties with leaking all this different stuff to try and mess with what the Wolves are doing right ahead of them. And
absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, this is it. And I think that, you know, the Wolves know they can't say too much because the Warriors have all these titles and they have the pedigree to back up their bravado. But the Wolves are just kind of looking at this like, man, these guys aren't, they didn't invent the game like they carry themselves as, and we're going to be just fine. And we're going to go toe to toe with them and not back down. And so that's definitely been the undercurrent here over really the last year or so with these two front offices. And then, I mean, when you look at it from their perspective, as you were saying, Marcus, like they feel like, hey, not only did we get off of Andrew Wiggins, who it was clear was not working here with Towns, like we were going nowhere with the Towns-Wiggins duo, but we got a guy in Russell who we think is going to not be James Harden, obviously, but they think that they're going to empower this dude and he's going to come in and be able to do things that he hasn't done so far and really blossom. And they're putting a lot of eggs in that basket. We'll see if it works out. But they're very much of the belief that, the Russell-Towns pairing is just a ton better for them than Wiggins Towns was, but then B, they think that, you know, hey, people have forgotten how good Karl Anthony Towns is. And you know, he was injured a lot last year. He went through the stuff with his mom and they think that coming back this year, he's really going to show people and that they're going to surprise some people. Again, there's plenty of doubts. They have to show all of that, but there's definitely an edge that they carry into this, knowing that they've been kind of kicked while they've been down for quite a while here.
If anything, they got rid of Wiggins, you know?
That's right. like
that's what they could puff their chest out about, is like, that wasn't working. He was supposed to be our Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
And it just never happened for him there. And, you know, Glenn Taylor gave him gave him a max contract on a handshake, like, you're gonna improve, aren't you, young Andrew? And you know, that just never happened.
And so hey,
you can't be
just
mad at that deal.
No, on that too, like, you know, getting back to it, like, you know how upset it just gets under the skin of people around here, including Wolves fans especially, but I think even internally in the organization, when Wiggins first landed out there in Golden State and had like one good game, and all of a sudden it was, oh, look at the savvy Warriors. They've pulled the wool over the Wolves' eyes, and, you know, and boy, they fleeced them. And everyone back here is saying, yeah, just wait. Okay. Let's just see what happens.
Just
And you know, he wasn't so. In his, and even last year, because Steph was hurt, it's not like he was playing his real role for the team, what it would ultimately be, which Marcus, I always assume, would be an overqualified Harry Barnes, right? Like in 2016, like
maybe just an offensively maybe. Better, an offensively yeah. better Harrison Barnes.
Right.
I think it's really interesting. Like Warriors are super high on Wiggins, right? They yeah. feel like. They feel like they've got a gem that Minnesota didn't know what to do with, right? And the reason they think so is because he is just like a core piece. He's not a franchise savior. And you might say, yo, that's a lot of money
right.
for your fourth best player. But you know, Joe Lacob, you know, the Warriors are the, like, NBA version of the Jermaine Dupri Jay-Z video, right? Like, it's all money ain't a thing, right? With the top down screaming out, right? So they're like, yeah, we'll pay $30 million for what costs 15 because that's what we do. It's not that big of a deal to us. But it's also, I mean, to be fair, it is also maximizing Steph. It's all about maximizing Steph, Clay, Draymond. So if you got to pay a little bit extra to maximize that, they'll do that. So they definitely, I remember writing like, yo, Warriors got a little hustled on this one. Mm-hmm. And ooh, they DA, let me tell you.
They're a little funky about that.
Yeah, they ooh, boy, they came for me. They came for me. I was like, yo, I mean, if you Andrew Wiggins though, right, you better play the best ball of your life because they are literally I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, where's anybody going out for ride for Wiggins like that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. What does everybody be like, yo, Wiggins is my guy. Say something else. Say something. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta be feeling good out here.
Oh,
they fit him.
Let's wrap it up with this. What do you think your squad does? Marcus, what do you think your squad does?
I'm sticking with it. DA, if they can't make a trade, and I'm looking at Charlotte at three to start, but yeah. if they stay at number one, I'm going with Anthony Edwards. I know there's a lot of LaMelo Ball steam. I think in the end, they're going to look at upside for Edwards and fit and all those things and go that route. So that's my pick.
This is going to get interesting, especially because, you know, what the Warriors do is contingent on what happens at number one.
Yeah.
But if somebody like Charlotte jumps and takes Wiseman, I think that's going to make it really interesting. I think they're expecting Edwards to be off the board.
Right.
This is just like, you know, I think they're expecting Edwards to be off the board, and they got the choice between Wiseman and Melo, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think if Steve Kerr has as much clout as I think – like he's getting yeah. it'll be watching, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Kerr's like, stop giving me these 6'9" centers, yo. Right. I need a real big man.
Yeah. No.
So but if Wiseman's off the board, now you're trying to judge between a 6'4" two guard who doesn't play defense and a 6'7" point guard who doesn't play defense. And that's right. I think it's Melo at that point.
Okay.
I think it's Melo at that point. But I'm with John. If there's a chance to trade and get somebody who can help right now, I think they do it. I think they take that in a heartbeat.
Okay. Gentlemen, it's been great. This was awesome. I wish let's do this more often. Just yakking. I love it.
For sure.
Yeah, this was great. Appreciate all of y'all listening. Leave that 5-star review on Apple, on the other podcast stream options that you have. If you hear this show, we love all the good feedback as always. Enjoy this last crazy week before the draft, which I can't believe I'm saying is going to be next week, which is just insane, but it is. So that's what we got to do.
The draft is next week?
I know. Can you believe it? It's hard to believe. Later.
All right, later, y'all. All right, guys. Watch the track.
All right.
Yeah, that's Bonds. All right. Bonds had a date.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.